So good morning to you all. As you guessed from the title, this presentation is focused on the effects on the electrobeam quality of some Wakefield's present Linux for single-pass FELs. In spite of the title, this superconducting Linux will be also mentioned sometimes. The Wakefields we will consider are the geometrical ones in the accelerating structures, the equivalent synchrotron radiation, and briefly the longitudinal space charge. We will review some strategies for the machine design to compensate and to minimize the interaction of Wakefields and electrons. These strategies include the RF management, the low charge option, and some cures for the microbunching instability. But first, let me introduce a few sketches to simplify the concept of beam quality. With flatness, I mean the control of the linearity in the longitudinal phase space. Of the longitudinal phase space and of the energy spread. Uniformity essentially means control of current profile, which is linked to the FEL gain length. Finally, rigidity means preservation of both slice and projected transverse emittances. At the first look, Wakefields in accelerating structures affect the flatness and the rigidity by means of energy and angular kicks, respectively, while CSR acts on the, together with the longitudinal space charge, acts on the uniformity if the microbunching stability is not suppressed, and on the rigidity by means of dispersion and transversal forces. In addition to these, their coupling effects will be considered in the following. But first, let me to stress out that on the contrary of the cooperative FEL process in the undulator, the electron dynamics in a Linux does not contain any physical information about slicing. Actually, we can distinguish between uncorrelated and correlated particle coordinates. Within this picture, the correlations introduced by the Wakefields make the slice beam quality dependent on the slice length, which has to be fixed according to the FEL prescription. Well, the first point I want to discuss in detail is the flatness, partially anticipating its relations with uniformity. And we know that the Wakefield, acting in the last part of a normal conducted Linux, provides for free the control, and in particular the cancellation, of the energy chirp required by the upstream compression. Such a control is more crucial for lower energy machines, since the relative energy spread is a parameter of interest for the FEL process. In this way, the momentum compaction in the second chicane of the beam delivery system can be relaxed, therefore reducing the CSR effect while using larger energy chirps. Well, actually, on the other hand, the energy spread is largely increased in normal conducting Linux by bifurcations at the bunch edges. And as a matter of fact, nonlinearities introduced by the longitudinal Wakefield reduce the compression efficiency, forcing to adopt a higher bunch charge or a stronger compression factor, this time enhancing CSR. And as we will see later, nonlinearities introduced by the Wakefield reflect into current spikes, which, as expected, are avoided, usually in superconducting machines. Well, remember that a linear energy chirp has already an impact on the FEL stability, and this topic was discussed on Monday by Giovanni Danino in his talk. So it is a fact that nonlinearities, or in other words, higher-order energy chirps, affect the final beam quality. For example, HGHG FELs, which aim to produce a Fourier transform-limited signal with a narrow bandwidth of the order of a few milli-electron volts, put a tight constraint on the final quadratic chirp, such as in this simulation for the two-stage harmonic cascade Fermi FEL. And the quadratic chirp, in presence of a dispersive region, enlarges the bandwidth to unwanted levels. This dependence is confirmed by the second plot, in which an improved beam dynamics, characterized by a twice smaller quadratic chirp, generates a four times narrower bandwidth. And also, this topic was discussed in detail by Bill Foley today and was mentioned by Greg Penn the day before yesterday. So, if the quadratic chirp affects the energy distribution of the electron bunch, also the cubic chirp acts on the compression efficiency, and its sign determines the over or under compression of the bunch edges. Simulations show that space charge forces for a flat top bunch acting for the injector always generate a negative cubic chirp. Then, it is changed by the interplay of bunch compression and longitudinal wake field. And finally, current spikes appear, and this is a typical result for normal conducting Linux. In absence of wake field, the bunch edges are undercompressed, and we may observe the typical charge distribution of superconducting machines. Actually, the harmonic cavity, which is usually implemented to linearize the quadratic chirp, is a knob also for the cubic energy chirp, if it is set off crest, and it allows the control of the final current profile. Well, briefly, I want to mention that among others, several damaging effects, the current spikes, the bunch edges, also can also induce a CSR instability at wavelengths shorter than the bunch length. And in fact, these plots show that their contribution to the CSR spectrum is mainly the enhancement of the higher frequencies of the emitted radiation. Well, so far, the harmonic cavity seems to be the more suitable solution for all our problems. Moreover, the DC people demonstrated that it can be used to relax the Linux sensitivities until an order of magnitude. Unfortunately, this technique affects the cubic chirp. And more in general, a global solution which achieves simultaneously flatness, uniformity, and stability is not guaranteed. For this reason, another knob for the bunch shape manipulation would be required. And this knob was suggested by the idea that all the effects perturbing the longitudinal beam dynamics, such as RF curvature, higher order optics, longitudinal wake potential, can be self-adjusted by the density distribution which alters the wake field. Such a distribution was found by the reverse tracking. In the Fermi case, where strong wake fields are involved, final flatness and uniformity correspond to an initial beam with a ramped current profile. Such a prediction, such a suggestion, is limited by some assumptions that will be discussed in the next slide. For the moment, let me say that the most immediate verification is given by the usual forward tracking, including all the effects. And the start-to-end simulation shows agrees pretty well with the prediction, and it shows a compression efficiency of 90%. But a more rigorous explanation of this result is given by the convolution of the ramp, the current profile, with the longitudinal wake function. The convolution provides a mostly linear wake potential. On the contrary, a flat or a parabolic charge distribution brings important nonlinearities to the longitudinal phase space. So, as I said, the reverse tracking applies to ultra-relativistic particles with the assumption of a fixed energy and density distribution in the compressor and in the LINAC respectively, in practice defining a frozen beam. In addition, it neglects CSR. And this last assumption can be approximately verified, for example, by a gap of 8 millimeters shielding one picosecond long bunch, such as in the Fermi case, with a reduction of the induced energy loss until 90%, or even in absence of shielding, the CSR-induced energy loss for a relatively long bunch are weak. And in addition, the CSR-induced energy loss results to be negligible with respect to that induced by the LINAC wake fields, for example, once the impedances have been integrated over the particle's path length. So even if the lower the energy, the easier the bunch manipulation, a fine-tuning of the longitudinal and of the transverse space can be performed also at higher energies. For example, optics in a dogleg, which is usually implemented for energy collimation at the end of the LINAC, but just before the undulators, can be tuned with trim quadruples in order to define the current profile by introducing a required momentum compaction. In addition, it allows the minimization of the projected emittance, because owing to the energy position correlation introduced by CSR, the slice's lateral offset can be cancelled through a minus I transport matrix between identical dispersive regions. Well, to be honest, even in absence of CSR, the number of sources of transverse emittance degradation remains impressively large. Nevertheless, the smart guy found that the emittance blow-up in LINAC-based single-pass FELs is dominated by two contributions. The first one is the chromatic aberration, due to the large energy spread produced for bunch compression and transported through a large part of the lattice, as we saw at the beginning. And in this case, you need to properly manage the quadrupole strength to reduce the emittance growth. The second contribution is the beam breakup instability, that is the instability induced by the transverse wake field. And this is typical of normal conducting Linux. We are going to discuss it in detail. Well, the dimensionless parameters shown before and here, according to the theory applied to the single bunch case, is proportional to the wake amplitude, and it multiplies the resonant term driving the transversal motion of the slices centroid. The theory allows you to predict the bunch tail deviation with respect to the head axis of the bunch induced by the instability with a good agreement with the simulation. And to me, it tastes good to call it a banana shape. And if a banana shape is assumed by the bunch, you see, the projected emittance is increased, and the tailing electrons will travel in the undulator with a trajectory offset. As for CDFELs, if the bunch tail deviation is sufficiently larger than the beam size, it will cause a missed overlap between the seeding laser and the electron bunch, with a reduction of the output of the output photon pulse and of the peak power. The FEL tolerance on such an effect can be roughly estimated, for example, by the simulation of a launching error at the undulator entrance. And we see that a large beam offset, the impact of a large beam offset on the peak power and on the phase shift can be dramatic, such as that on the radiation offset and tilt. While for as for SASE FELs, I want to mention the recently, the anomalously 12% large spectral bandwidth recently observed at the VISA project. And in that case, the simulations, this was already presented at this conference in the poster session. The simulations agree pretty well with the experimental results and demonstrate that the bandwidth broadening is correlated to the optical mismatch of the lasing course envelope to the focusing lattice of the undulator. Well, in a similar way, a banana shape is sufficiently large, contribute with an additional launching error, and the optical mismatch due to the emittance dilution can contribute to the bandwidth enlargement of the FEL. Well, if the ordinary trajectory correction is not sufficient to compress the instability, you can adopt trajectory bumps in order to find the golden trajectory along the LINAC, for which each all the kicks provided by the transverse wake field compensate each other, and the banana shape is finally cancelled, at least within a certain level. By the way, you can also think to reduce the average beta function along the LINAC, since its square root is proportional to the projected emittance growth. But notice that in this case, a stronger focusing increases the trajectory sensitivity to the elements misalignments. Well, now let me introduce a more general prescription of low charge beam production to minimize the wake fields. The colored curves in the plot represent the loss factor. And this low charge prediction is valid once the compression factor and your final peak current are fixed parameters. So each curve represents the loss factor of a Gaussian charge distribution traveling in one accelerating structure, in this case one for the Fermi LINAC 4, versus the RMS bunch length. Each curve is drawn for a given peak current, which is the parameter of interest for the FEL process. And the yellow dots represent a 0.6 nanocoulomb charged beam compressed twice by a total factor of 15, while the orange dots represent the same dynamics, but for a lower charge, 0.3 nanocoulomb. And as you see, due to the monotonic behavior of the wake function, a lower charge always suffers from a minor induced energy loss with respect to the higher one. But obviously, the lowest charge is determined by the minimum bunch length achievable, which is in turn limited by CSR, since it has an impact in terms of both energy modulation and brightness degradation, and by timing jitter, especially for FELs which are based on fresh bunch injection technique, since the final bunch has to be sufficiently long to accommodate all the lasing stages and the timing jitter of the electron bunch with respect to the seeding laser. Nevertheless, recently LCLS adopted a low charge 0.2 nanocoulomb low charge option instead of the initial 1 nanocoulomb, and the low charge solution shows an improvement of the linearity in the longitudinal phase space, a reduction of the current spikes, a suppression of the beam breakup instability up to 10% of the projected emittance growth, and in addition, the reduction of the emittance from 1.2 micron to 0.85, transverse normalized, I mean, allows them to obtain the same saturation length of the 1 nanocoulomb case, but with a lower peak current, 2.1 kA instead of 3.4. As a consequence, since a lower peak current is admitted, the CSR impact is also minimized, and the final projected emittance is 4 times smaller than the one in the 1 nanocoulomb case. On the contrary, exploratory studies for a low charge working point in Tesla FEL showed that a too short bunch can suffer from slice emittance growth. This probably happens because particles which are in the same slice before and after the compression reach very different longitudinal positions during the phase space rotation. In this case, they are subjected to a different amount of CSR, and their perturbed twist invariant will be also different. And as a result, when particles return in the same slice at the end of the compression, the total slice emittance is grown up. Well, we know that CSR and longitudinal space charge both drive the so-called microbunching instability. And, an uncorrelated energy spread of a few kilo electron volts typically provided by a photoinjector is not sufficient to suppress the high-frequency instability. For this reason, a single compression scheme can be a suitable solution to provide more Landau damping by using a stronger compression factor and a larger energy spread at the magnetic chicane. In the Fermi case, the maximum of the spectral gain function is reduced by a factor 100 with respect to the double compression case. Unfortunately, the single compression scheme forces a short bunch, the finally compressed short bunch, to travel along a large part of the LINAC, affecting the flatness by longitudinal wake field. And this problem could be overcome, for example, by investigating the one-stage compression with reverse tracking shown before. Well, on the other hand, the double compression, even if enhancing the microbunching instability, allows you at the same time to obtain the required peak current and to compensate the instabilities induced in the transverse and the longitudinal plane by the LINAC wake fields, in the sense that the wake fields are forced to dominate in different parts of the machine, the transverse on the long bunch uncompressed and the longitudinal in the final compressed short bunch. Well, the split magnetic compression is usually associated with a laser heater at low energy to keep under control the microbunching instability. And Jirong Wang and Greg Penn showed us during this conference that the damaging impact of a large energy spread on both SASE and harmonic cascade FELs. For this reason, we needed to check the final slice energy spread with respect to the energy spread induced by the laser heater. And the unsuppressed instability on the left of the plot, and mainly the compression factor on the right, bring the final energy spread near or over the FEL threshold, while the optimum setting of the laser heater is given is in the middle, obviously. A numerical Vlasov solver was developed at LBNL to simulate the microbunching instability, but avoiding its artificial amplification due to the numerical shot noise usually included in other tracking codes. But the work is still in progress, next to finish, but preliminary results indicate that its discrepancy with the two-dimensional analytical theory strongly depends on the details of the calculation. Actually, the same Vlasov solver also models the Landau damping from a finite transverse emittance and with an impact on the design of the magnetic compressor. In fact, the CSR-induced projected emittance growth on one hand, and on the other hand, the washing out of the microbunching due to the smearing of the particles in the bending plane, put conflicting constraints on the value of the H function defined here in terms of twist parameters and dispersion and first derivative of dispersion. And in practice, as usual in life, a compromise between the two optical prescriptions appears as the best solution. Well, we are finally at the conclusions. And to me, this review mainly stresses out the coupling established by the Wakefields between the 3 degrees of freedom of the electron dynamics. The coupling is provided by the balance of the instabilities induced by the longitudinal and the transverse Wakefield. It is provided by the dispersive regions for magnetic compression, and finally by the four-dimensional Landau damping. And we saw that such complex dynamics often forces to adopt compromises in the optimization of the machine design. At the same time, we saw that strong efforts carried out to satisfy stringent FEL requirements brought to new ideas to improve the electron beam quality, such as the low charge option, the investigation of the single compression scheme with reverse tracking, and the development of new codes. As a result, just to give you numbers, the most recent conceptual designs of normal conducting Linux for single pass FELs predict a transverse normalized emittance to the level 1 millimeter milliradian, with a growth of the projected one below 20 or perhaps 10%. The correlated projected energy spread can be manipulated on the bunch scale to the order of 1 MeV, while the minimum value for the slice energy spread is to the order of 150 kilo electron volts. So I want to thank all the people who contributed to this presentation with suggestions, comments, and mainly with their own work. And sorry, but for reason of space, you can find 3 columns of references in my paper. This is the code. And finally, briefly, I want to thank this beautiful town and our kind guests. Please remember, you are welcome to the next Diagnostic and Instrumentation Conference in Electra in 2007. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for this presentation. Are there questions? No? So everything seems to be clear. Then we thank the speaker again.